Accession number 28463, Reel 3.
Gemstone Reel 3. You were just telling me about...
This is in between the raids on Sumatra. This was actually after the war. Victorious, illustrious, indomitable, nine pilots were unable to make their way back to their ships, and they landed in Sumatra. They were taken back to Changi Jail and were taken in there. And 3 days after the war had ended in 1945, 18th of August, 15th of August, the war ended, on the 18th, these aircrews were taken out of Changi Jail and taken up the east coast of Malaysia, not far from Kuantan, where we lost the Repulse and the Prince of Wales. They were taken there and all executed. That's that on the beach. After raids, after all these raids, we had three lots of raids. They were all very similar. Loads of pilots we rescued. We rescued American crew being in the day in the sea for 48 hours.
How did they cope with it?
You've been in the British involvement. Yeah. Oh, we had a. Oh, yeah. I'll leave that for a bit, anyhow. But anyhow, it was repetition, but mostly picking up the pilots and bombarding Sumatra.
Did you have much damage?
No damage at all. No damage at all. As I say, it was a lucky ship. So after all our operation there, we went on to Fremantle, and there was no shore leave or nothing. We just went in there, and the wounded were taken off the fleet. And then we went on to Sydney, and I got the papers there, the big welcome that the whole fleet had. As our destroyer went out to a little bay, Rose Bay, till it was time for us to go into the dockyard Balmain, and like all the other ships, had to be serviced, and whatever damage they had done to them, we had the serviced and boiler cleaned. Until February 1945, we were ready to join up with the Yanks in the Pacific. February, ready to join up in the Pacific. March, we was in Manus in the Admiralty Islands.
When you joined up with Americans, did you have a lot of contact with them?
Well, I did, because I was a motorboat driver, but there was no leave anywhere. Mm. No leave, as I say. Our only contact was with our, which I've got lots of photos of the different ships. We hauled off the Achilles, which my cousin was on. We went, dropped back to oil ship every so often, take on what food they could give us. When we left Australia, we had potatoes and everything on board. But before long, all the potatoes had rotten, and we was on dehydrated cabbage and dehydrated potatoes, which was like macaroni. You had to soak it overnight. So we was lucky with what food we got from the fleet carriers, which were behind the zone, operation zone. But even so, the Japs came about, because on one occasion we were oiling ship, and the kamikazes came over to attack us, and we had to cut the hoses. Oil hoses, the first lieutenant ordered it, and with an axe cut the copper hoses, and I've got the picture in there of all the oil on the ship's side. So that stayed like that for quite a long while, but this is what we had to do every time. That's why we were done 98 days at sea, you see, because we relied on those ships. But on the way through...
So you were at 98 days at sea?
At sea.
And that's quite a record.
But at the time it was, yeah, for a destroyer to do that amount of time, yeah.
So most of your supplies were really pretty low by the end of that?
Oh, yes, well, we still managed, like, corn things like that from the supply ships when we dropped back. We got supplies coming over. But, oh, yeah, they were low. It was only when we left Australia we had plenty of food to get start off with, and some meat at cold store. But there again, it didn't last all that long. Not for the length of time. So, after Mass, Ulithi, Little Islands, retook these little islands, up in the Caroline groups, bombarded all these little islands. You had Iwo Jima raids, raids on Iwo Jima, Okinawa raid, Ishikaki raid on the 4th of April, and they, Formidable was hit. 14 jet planes were down. Shima raid, and on that Sakishima raid, 5 minutes to go on before I went to midnight, that's 12 to 4, I was told that the war in Europe, that was the 7th of May, the war in Europe was over, so by the time I got on watch, that was over.
So what were your feelings about
that? Well, I was relieved because, in a way, because of Wynne's mum and her seven family were there together again, and more or less, and my sister, Omi, out the Wrens, and the mothers were the heroes, really, of what they'd gone through. You know, even so, there was still the rationing to cope with them. And my mother, she had her cousins, they were bombed out in the Edgware Road, in a block of flats there. And my mother had they was older than us, her two cousins, two daughters, stayed with them for quite a while. And she had my grandfather there. There was Bessie and Louis, wasn't it?
Bessie and Louis, their house was bombed, and the mother was killed.
Mother was killed.
Bessie and Louis and uncle, what was his name?
Alf.
They came to live with their mother.
Oh, and their mother came to live with them.
I learned this the other day, I forgot to tell you, because when we got married, I was saying to Jim recently, I wonder where we all slept, you know, because we all...
Oh, yeah, when you could just take...
Sorry, Wembley. And my sister told me the other day, the one that's been up to the palace, she said, Bruce, her fiancé then, New Zealander, he went to your mother's to sleep.
Yeah.
And he slept in the Morrison shelter. I never knew that. He didn't know.
Did you feel cheated somehow that you were still at war and the rest, everybody else was?
No, I've always been outdoor lad, and it didn't really affect me, because when we lived in Wembley for quite a while, we lived in Wembley, didn't we, Wynne? And I was never home a lot. Mm. If I wasn't in Devon as a young lad, I wasn't even there when we moved to Wembley, a new house.
When Jim. We were brought up in Devon and did some, actually. But of course, the father decided to get his mother out of London and move out to where they lived, and you were 14, and your mum had you back home then because they had to help to supplement the income to pay.
Oh, did she? Oh, that's when I was at college with you then.
And that's where you came back at 14. And I left the north then. I didn't leave school because we moved from the north to Wembley. And then when I was 15, and you would start at work where I worked.
Yeah.
I was up as girl, and he was a little...
Yeah, I told her that. Anyhow, so that was it. So midnight, I'd heard that war was over in Europe, and I was pleased for my mothers, for the two mothers. And as I say, because my mother had gone enough from the First World War, so had Wynne's mother, because her husband was out in Gallipoli, and her husband, rather. So one jet shot down. We were lucky. Casualties heavy on the carriers. Pilots not able to land, so we were picked up by the destroyers of our flotilla. Bad day all round. 12th of July, the gun barrel split on the Black Prince, which was a cruiser, killed all the gun crew. Main attack on Okinawa. The poor old Yanks there, they were landing, we were bombarding, you see, and helping. And also there was Jap planes about, and Jap carrier was hit. Jap sub about, three Jap destroyers hit. We rescued an Avenger crew. That was one of the planes. Corsair, Avenger, and there was another plane. It's gone out of my mind for the moment. But so that was the 12th of July, and all the gun crew were killed. Main attack on. We lost three Corsairs, Jap carrier hit, Jap sub about, typhoon weather, three Jap destroyers hit, and rescued the Avenger crew.
So what sort of condition were they in when they came aboard?
What, the crews? Mm. Oh, some, they were badly shaken, some were, yeah, because, you know, they was out of fuel to start with, and what with the Jap planes on the carriers, they couldn't land, and to have to ditch their plane and lose their plane, they weren't very happy about it.
So did you keep them on board, or did you take them?
No, after when things settled down and, you know, it made it a bit easier, they went back on their own ship, yeah. Mm. Yeah. But the American one, we had... The news from his family when he got back, they took him back, and he got back to America, and then they sent cigarettes and things for the for Airships Company, you know, it was so appreciated to think that we'd rescued an American there.
So some of the carriers must have been getting rather short of planes by this time.
Oh yes, well we got the ships dropped back and they had the planes. It was a marvellous operation. The Americans didn't think we could do it. And it was like, we always headed with Admiral Vian, we always headed into typhoons and that. But they sailed out and they lost a lot of ships, especially the small ships. But they didn't think we were able to cope. But we built up all these supply ships and oilers. Even if we didn't oil from one of the proper oilers, we oiled from our own big ships, cruisers or whatever. So, you know, the ships were there to come back again. And the Americans were in the same position. They lost lots of planes. So they was always able to resupply them with them.
Did they have like hospital ships with you as well?
Yes, yes. I think the Oxfordshire was out to the Far East, but we did not see her. But I know for a fact that when it was all over, that the Americans had a beautiful Oxfordshire ship, because I was on board one. And my cousin, when I met up with my cousin, and it was after everything had ended, and another leading stoker, Mickey Thornton, him and I were ashore and just going back to the ship when a young Marine bandsman was attacked by Puerto Rican Americans who were well drunk, and we were clobbered. Mickey Thornton got hit over the head and had to be stitched, and the American patrol picked us up and took us to the hospital ship, American hospital ship. It was just like a first class hospital, and they'd done Mickey up, stitched him up and that. And then the nurse said, "What have you done? This was all swollen up." And so they'd done that for me and the wounded. But fortunately, my cousin on the Achilles was with us, and he's a docile sort of chap, and he never got involved with what we do, but he had the sense to pick up our hats where our paybook was in, because if you went back on board without that, you were in trouble, you was in lose your rank or whatever. But he'd take them back on board the Achilles, and they'd sent the message back to the Undine, who's in Tokyo Bay then, to say that Stoker Pretlove had picked up leading Stoker and leading Stoker Thornton's hats, and they'd been to the hospital ship. And because when we got to the side of the ship in the motorboat, all the stokers were cheering us. And
it's quite ironic that the only injury you had was
from America. That's the only Oh, those Puerto Rican Americans weren't nice people to meet. I don't know why, but they'd gone through it. I got to give it to them. When I was motorboat driver in Tokyo Bay, we had a film in warehouses, and there was two more warehouses there. As I say, by being a motor driver, I saw a lot, and they were full of dead men's defects from Okinawa and Midway Islands before we went out there, and Pearl Harbor. It was full of dead men's defects, and to be honest, I've got to tell you that the motorboat crew got fitted out with rough weather gear from them, put on rubber boots, overalls and what have you, which I wore on my motorbike after the war, Aerial 500. But you've got to give it to them, because they were having their own back on the Japs by retaking all these. They were still there in these little islands, you know. They weren't giving in. So that's where we went on up to from Okinawa, and what we got. We still had raids on. That was Japanese torpedo boats were about. Raids south of Tokyo. 8th and 11th of July, fleet, we lost our mail at Manus. That's where we started off from, in the Admiralty Islands. Manus, a Liberator had crashed, so we had loads of mail there. That got lost. 8th of August, one raid was aborted because of the typhoon weather. Then the atom bombs were dropped on Japan, which I've got the photo you've seen, Nagasaki, Hiroshima. And we were bombarding with the King George V and other ships, bombarded the mainland with battleships and the King George V and our flotilla, and we were mentioned in dispatches there for the ship on that there. 15th of August, Japs surrendered, met Cousin on the Achilles, which I told you about, and then it was on the USS Missouri in Tokyo Bay, the Japanese surrendered to MacArthur on board the Missouri. They were from Japan.
So you were in Tokyo Bay yourself at that time?
Tokyo Bay and Okinawa.
So did you see anything of the ceremony?
Part of it, yeah, because we actually, being motorboat's crew, we did, you see.
Yes.
And we had done other things. We had boat rowing whaler competitions with the other ships as well, you know, all that.
Did you think the Americans, the actual food and the equipment they had on their boats was
When we first started off, we met them in Leyte Gulf, which they took. They had one ship especially for laundry, coming down the chute for each one of their boats, their sort of a landing craft came alongside. So-and-so ship, and down the chute come their laundry. Oh yeah, they had food and they helped us out a little bit, you know, with some of it.
You had a pass, you had to go anywhere in Japan, and when you went to you had a chitty or something.
Yeah, I'll come back. Yeah, I'll come to that in a minute. Probably, yeah. But we went back again to Japan, you see. So they surrendered there in Tokyo Bay and Yokohama. We went back to Manus, where we first started off, and then we went on to Melbourne, 28th of August, then back to Sydney. Then we went back out again. We went to Manus again and to Guam, Yokohama, Tokyo, Aomori, Oturi, Akahamaya, Tobi, which was a sort of Dartmouth College for the Navy, I think, there, because we saw in through the window, we had a look round in there, and we went round Anatami showing the flag.
What were the local populace like?
Well, you couldn't, that was in a terrible state. There were only wooden shacks, more or less. There was the areas around, surrounding areas were devastated, just flat. We got attacked. There was a canteen. They sent us let us go ashore and had a couple of bottles of beer in a little canteen place, but the air was devastated. Yeah, there was nothing there at all really, and different parts we went to. But when we was on operations, we dropped back and had things done to the boiler, and I was in charge of a couple of stokers, and we stripped the evaporator machine down, which made the fresh water for the boilers, and fresh water to drink in. That had to be a nitrate of silver test to give a little certain amount of salt water in it for the drinking. But then the tanks for the fresh water for washing and everything, and for the boilers. Well, we were on the upper deck in the red heat, descaling them, you know, like it would be in a kettle, curls and curls and curls. Well, for that, it's in there, 3-day. Which Wynne's trying to tell me just then. 3-day rail pass in Japan for the boiler and the evaporator work with the other stokers while we were on ops. See, we dropped back out of the firing line. And the Yanks fed us well. We arrived there about 10 o'clock and they said, how many eggs do you want for breakfast, guys? How many flapjacks? Well, we never had breakfast on board ship. It's just probably bread and jam and a cup of tea and a fag, because I used to smoke heavy then. Yanks fed us well. And at a hotel, the Tami, which they'd taken over when they'd landed, you see. And, it was marvellous. 3 days there. Hot sulphur springs, hot sulphur bath, which from the volcano Fujiyama came down, and like a swimming pool in run through. And then to have a bath, the Japs used that water, like the staff that were there, in square, big wooden square. Up sauna, and they had mixed bathing. They did for all the staff. It was nothing to them, you know. But anyhow, it was a great treat to be there. But the Japs, I've got it down here. Japs were still about. The Americans said not to go outside the hotels, and they'd overturned a Yankee bus. Some killed, and there was casualties there. But they dared me to have a shave by the Jack barber there with his cutthroat razor. Yeah, so Undine, 98 days at sea, record at the time for a destroyer. Had photos, one of Shipside covered in oil, and we were at a severe hose, which I've already told you about. Back to Sydney, January 1946.
How did you feel after the bombs hit? I mean, did you know at the time on the ship?
Oh, yeah, I thought that was...
How much information did they used to give you?
To me, well, not a lot. We didn't get a lot till we'd gone back the second time. We got these photos and that. That I thought, well, they was getting the bashing anyhow. Mm. But the Japs don't give in. The Japs just don't give in. You know, and but even so, I don't know. I thought it was really myself. I thought it was terrible to see the photos of what had happened. It was.
Which is a tremendous relief for you.
Oh, yes, but that was all over. You know, it was... I mean, I must say, we were looked after in Australia because all we'd done at first, when we first went into dry dock there, was go just outside after doing our cleaning up and whatever work we had to do in the engine room, boiler room, whatever. We used to just go outside, a little bar outside, and just have our beer. Because the pubs closed at 6 in the evenings at that particular time, it just automatically went off. But after a few days, we had a dockyard worker on board, and he had been on one of the P&O boats before the war and had married an Australian girl. I think they were Salvationists, but anyhow, it was Jack and Glad who took us under there. He took us under there. We went by train to his home in Bexley North, outside Sydney, fed us well, looked after us, and... put us on the straight and narrow, I suppose. Got washed and two chops for breakfast and things like that. So that was how we were looked after there in Sydney.
And how long, when you went back to Tokyo Bay, how long did you have to stay there?
Well, till we'd been all around these islands showing the flag, I suppose a month or so, you know. It was experience that, you know, but there was not a lot to, you know. We did go ashore and I got some things. I got in there. It's not in there. The china set window. I've got a china set I bought back and a very fine bone coffee set, and brought in a kimono. And you know, we went ashore.
Well, I was just thinking of the...
Oh, this is down below the china set.
Where we live in Wembley. It's not on record, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Where we
live. Yeah. It started again. Being near Japan, when I got home, back to England, we was out on the River Thames, weren't we, or something? Anyhow, I don't know, what's that? And I went like this across my forehead, and all the skin came off. And they thought that it being out near where they dropped the atom bomb, it might have been caused through that. But it all came off right to the bone. And... I don't even faintly see a mark there now, but the hair went all grey, and that's the eyebrows. The hair went grey and my eyebrows. But I was in terrible pain for ages, wasn't I? So I went to my local doctor in Wembley, when we lived in Wembley, and he couldn't fathom it out. He said, well, we'll send you to a skin specialist. But he suggested permanganate of potash. So I had to wear a cap all the time, and then that was all... painted pink, was it mauve, wasn't it? But whenever I got in the sun, I can't sit in the sun now.
Unless you must cover your head.
But that's what they thought at first. But because when we came home, we didn't see a doctor, because I joined up as Fleet Reserve, you see, HMS Badger. We just got on the train and came back, and we met us at Liverpool Street. Only too pleased to see us back. But off the record, I don't know if it was true, but with these meetings, I've got a photo on there when we was in Melbourne, just before we came back. All the lads are taking cases, all the seamen, cases of so-called, by the paper, fruit back to England. But after meeting all the fleet, all our fellows with the reunions, they said, no, every one of the ships brought back a quarter of a million of gold bullion. Well, I thought then, well, there must have been something in it. Because when we got to Harwich in 1946, the customs came on board, searched us right, left and centre. And when we went to get on the train, they were protecting the goods carriage. And there was all armed naval patrols all around it. So there must have been something in it. But anyhow, all we were concerned about was catching the train back up to Liverpool Street, where my mum and dad and we and my sister, we all met up, you see. But going back to Sydney, when we were due for the long journey home, we'd been at Jack's and we came aboard, came in the motorboat alongside, and they was over the side calling out to us, was two chaps. One was, I was his best man at his wedding, who was we worked with before the war. He was on HMS Dauntless in a different area of what's the name, but they'd been on the Golden Hind, which is a depot ship in Sydney. And another one, Carter was his name. He lived next street to me in Kilburn. So that was going back years before, like, and they were taking passage home to us. So I said, well, you can have my cigarette ration, which I'd given up. You had a ration of a tin of tobacco. Did you want to switch it back on? Oh, it's going. Tin of tobacco, and you either had cigarette tobacco, where you'd sit that as pastime, making, moulding your cigarettes, or pipe tobacco, which sometimes I had, because I had me scout pipe when I was in the Rover Scouts, and on a couple of occasions I had the leaf, where you laid it out on a strip of canvas, sprinkled it with your tot of rum, bound it up the string and left it there for quite a while, and then you could have tobacco twist and roll it up and smoke in your pipe. But anyhow, these two lads, they had me most of me tot every day, and then they had me cigarette or whatever tobacco they wanted, because they didn't get rum when they was in Australia in the HMS Golden Hind, and they didn't have that, so there was only two pleas there. So we went back to England. And the other ships of the flotilla, we had the paying off pennant, which is the length of the ship that was flying off, and went back to Harwich, where I joined my first ship, and Walpole was put into mothball fleet, and then I joined the Fleet Reserve for 7 years. And that was it.
Did you ever get called up from the Fleet Reserve?
No. Actually, I got after 7 years. Every so often you'd go and see a local naval representative doctor, you see, and this one was at Duddon Hill in London, northwest London, and I went there and I got made unfit for service for what I knew I'd had when I came off the Walpole. I'd, from the gunfire and the air pressure, I'd got perforated eardrums. So suddenly it came to the fore again, and when I went to see him on this occasion, 1956, unfit for further duties, so I was discharged from the Fleet Reserve. I still had problems with my ears, but there we are. We get over that.
So it was a great relief, and you had a big party when you came home?
Oh. Wynne's sister lived in the next street, whose husband was the dam buster. But previous to that, she had been engaged to his navigator, gun operator, but he volunteered out of sequence with Bob, and Bob was a bit annoyed about it, but he'd volunteered for a flight.
My sister
Yeah, and Nell was his pilot, and of course Bob was a bit annoyed to think, but he got shot down. Now I told you, didn't I? He got shot down in Germany, wasn't it? And he escaped down the river, and the Germans shot him in the back in revenge for what was done at Dresden by the bombers, you know, and what have you. But we've just recently, Wynne wrote to his sister out in New Zealand, who's still alive, and her nephew had got this big write-up. He should have had the VC, believe you me, for what he's done as well. He'd done 71 operations, Bob done 67. But wasn't it a marvellous write-up about him?
Sad, very sad.
Very sad, very sad.
His grave had just been eventually one of the German SS men or somebody has been interrogated and owned up. They found his grave, and he's been reinterred. He's buried in France somewhere.
But there we are. So that was... But anyhow, as you say, there was big parties.